The Lord pacifies feelings of separation. This chapter describes the Lord's solacing words to the devotees who are afflicted with feelings of separation. Mother Sachi's lamentation and the Lord's solacing words to her. After hearing that the Lord would take sannyas and fearing they would lose the Lord's association, the devotees were in constant anxiety and had no appetite for food or water. The Lord, who is affectionate to his devotees, was unable to tolerate his devotees' distress. He therefore revealed to the devotees the confidential facts that they were the Lord's eternal associates, and that the Lord does not perform any pastime without them, and that birth after birth they incarnate to assist the Lord in this pastime. Being pacified by the Lord's words, devotees returned to their respective homes. Gradually, the news of the Lord's plan to take sannyas reached Mother Sachi. She then repeatedly lost consciousness in great distress. When she eventually saw Mahaprabhu in a relaxed mood, she came before the Lord and expressed her grief in various heartfelt words. Mahaprabhu then solaced Mother Sachi by describing the confidential facts about himself. The actual identity of Mother Sachi and Mother Sachi became somewhat pacified. Okay. Jaya Jaya Vishrambar Shishachinandan Jaya Jaya Gaura Singha Potita Pava. Glories to Vishrambar Shishachinandan. All glories to lion-like Gauranga, the deliverer of the fallen. E matan yonye sarva bhakta gan prabhur birahe sobe karen krandan. In this way, the devotees cried among themselves with feelings of separation from the Lord. Kota jaiben na prabhu sanyasa koriya kota ba amara sab deki banagya. Where will the Lord go after taking sannyas? Where will we go to see him? Sanyasa korile grame nasibeya kondike jainba koriya vicha. If he takes sannyas, he will not return to the village. Who knows which direction he will decide to go? E mata bhaktagan bhave nirantare annapani koronahi rochai sharire. All the devotees continuously thought in this way. They lost all appetite for food and water. Anapani. Ana is sometimes rice, but other like sometimes just food. Pani is water. So anapani koro nahi rochai sharire. They didn't maintain their body. Seva kira dhuk prabhu sahite napare prasanna hoya prabhu prabodhe shabare. The Lord could not tolerate his servant's distress, so he pleasingly solaced everyone. Prasanna. Prasannatma means pleasing when the soul is pacified. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. So this is the prasanna word. The Lord could not tolerate the servant's distress, so he pleasingly solaced everyone.
Prabhu balbale tomar chintaha ki karan tumi sab jata tata ami sarvalaksha.
The Lord said, why are you all worried? Wherever you are, I'm always there.
Jata tata ami sarvalaksha.
I'm always there.
Tomar chintaha na karan.
What is the cause of your chinta, your worry, your anxiety? He's saying like that. So we know the materialist that chintam aparimeyam cha pralayantam upasya, in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the demoniac nature is described that they, in the material world, everyone's anxieties, or at least the demoniac, their anxieties are unlimited. Chintama premayam cha pralaya, all the way up pralayantam upashita. They up to the time of death, they're always, everyone's in anxiety, constant.
tomar va bhava ami sanyasa koriya chaliban ami toma sabare charya.
You are all thinking, I will leave you after taking sannyas.
Sarvata tomarihana bhaviha mane toma sabha amina charibo kong kshane.
Don't ever think like this. I will never leave you. Kong kshane.
Kshane is referring to a moment. Kshana,
kshana is like, you know, a love is an 11th of a second. A kshana is smaller moment, but. So he's saying, Kone, where is that moment that I would ever, Charibo, leave you?
But you're all thinking, don't ever think like that. Saratutama, yeah, naba viha mani. Don't ever have that in your mane mind.
Sarva karatomar shokol morasanga e janma hena na janibo janma janma.
So he's saying, birth after birth, you are my constant associates. Don't think that we are together only in this birth.
Sarva kala tomar sokala morat.
He's saying, sarva kala, kala, kalosmi.
Krishna is saying in Gita that I am time.
So here he's saying all the time, sarva kala, forever. You are always my constant associates, all of you.
Sokala tomar sokala morat sangha, you got my sangha.
And janma janma, birth after birth,
e janma heno na janiba,
not just this janma, but janma janma, janme janme prabhu she,
that in that Guru Charana Padma song,
Guru, then Dartam Das is saying that he's praying that, stating, you're my master, my Prabhu, birth after birth.
Janma janmantare pi.
In many verses and prayers, this term comes up, life after life.
Mama janmini janmanishvare.
In the Shikshashtaka, mama janmini janmanishvare.
Birth after birth, I only want a haitiki bhakti.
So these persons are very fortunate that somehow they're in yoga maya, not thinking that they think they're going to lose the Lord, but he's saying, no, you're not. That's not true. You're always with me. I'm always with you. Even if you forget, just like in the Gita, where Arjuna is saying, how is it that bahuni mevya gitani janmani tavat? Krishna tells him, no, many time we've been together so long, forever. We actually, Arjuna always incarnates with Krishna, Prabhupada says in one letter, especially in the material world. And but you forgot them, but I didn't forget any of it. So they're put into illusion to forget.
E janme tumi sab jena amasange niravadi acha sankirtana sukarange juge juge anek amar avatar se shokal sangi sabe hayache amar.
As you are always enjoying the happiness of sankirtan with me in this birth, you are all my associates in my various incarnations in different yugas.
Yuge yuge.
It's a quote from the Gita, from that fourth chapter. Yuge 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 yuge.
E mata aro ache duya duyavata kirtananda rupe hoi bama.
In this way, I will always incarnate. I will incarnate in the two other forms of kirtan and ananda.
Kirtan and ananda.
Sri Gaurasundar said, like this, I will incarnate two more times. I incarnate along with the kirtan of the Lord's holy names. And I incarnate in the ananda form of the deity to display my Satchit Ananda form to those who worship me. On the pretext that Gaurasundar has two other incarnations, envious atheistic people establish wretched people as incarnations of the Lord Gaurasundar, rather than accept the deity form of Sri Gaurasundar, since pure devotees of the Lord have accepted the two incarnations of Gaurasundar as Abhesha Avatar, or empowered incarnations, sinful people attempt to apply apotheosis or living entities who are forced to accept the fruits of their karma and who daily pass through the three states of life.
See Adi Leela 1485.
I don't remember what that is. Chaitanya Bhagavan. Such people cannot accept that the deity and the holy name are the two forms of the Lord. Since such Navagauranga philosophy has appeared in various places, the path of spiritual life has become greatly obstructed and damaged. So sometimes these people read these statements and they say, yes, I was now, I was Lord Chaitanya. They were some idiots who have no relationship to Lord Chaitanya or disciple succession. They just come up and say they're new, they're the new form here, Navagauranga, and they daily pass through the three states of life, which we can only think of as birth, old age, or whatever they are. They take birth and they develop. There's six stages there, but so we can check with 1485 later. Navagauranga. So the Navagauranga philosophy. Tahate otumi sobe matarange kirtan koribo mahasuke amasange. With those two incarnations, you will also joyfully perform kirtan in my association. So this form of Krishna as the name, namahoite hoi, jagata nishta, namahoite hoi. In that form, he delivers the whole world, jagata nishta, namahoite hoi, prabhu, jagata nishta, and namachintamani Krishna, that the name, Ebala, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, how powerful is this name? And then he gives the whole description, how the name dances in the heart. And first it starts dancing in the tongue, and then it enters the heart. And then it takes us, ultimately, it gives us our name, Swarup, and even takes us to Braj in our original form. So everything is there in the name. This is some pramana, some proof to that effect, that he's appearing as the name. Nam, Krishna Shana, Navida Kirtane Shutan Nama Sankirtan Meva Mukyam. One of Sanatana Goswami's statements in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where he says, Krishna Shana Navida, there's so many forms of Krishna, but especially the holy name is Mukyam, the chief form, even says, and in one prayer, Rupa Goswami says, of the two forms of the deity, or even the literal form of Krishna, the actual form of Krishna, then even the name is better, because the name can be chanted anywhere. One may not see the form, but one can always have access to the holy name. Naniskrita, there's the verse in the Jamil story, Naniskrita Rudita Brahmavadi Bhis, that no amount of mundane or ordinary atonement can ever equal the chanting of the holy name, because he says, "Gunana vara palambakam." By chanting the name, then one is ultimately reminded of the Nam Guna Rupa Lila, all of Krishna, including the Lila, comes all in the seed in the holy name. Krishnashtana vidatirtane tanama tat prema sampad janani swayam drik. And it ultimately, one attains prema just by the chanting of the holy name. Nama amani go in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, Narada Muni bhajaya vina bhakata sa. And he talks about shavana juga gya. It enters the pairs of ears of the devotees, and then amaresh. They're drinking nectar through the ears, and how ultimately Pancha Anana, Lord Shiva is dancing with Lord Brahma, and all these things unfold just by the chanting of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, therefore, let this holy name go on being chanted. So there's non-difference. Binatvam Namanam, you know, Abhinatvam means there's no the quality of non-difference between the name and the owner of the name, Nami and Namino, Nama, Nami and Nam. Loka
Shiksha nimitta se amara sannyas eteki tomar shob chinta koronash. My sannyas is meant to teach people, so you should all give up your anxiety. Sri Gaurasundara accepted sannyas to instruct people. By taking sannyas, he enacted the pastime of taking the opportunity to see how and where Krishna was performing his pastimes with various people in various parts of India. Unless the so-called Gaudiya Vaishnavas, so-called Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who lack sufficient knowledge, take sannyas from the current of formidable offensive thought that flows among them, they will never achieve any auspiciousness. Well, that's a pretty heavy. The principal teaching for people in general is to give up everything that is unfavorable to devotional service. One can never realize the essential nature of devotional service, bhakti, if one sees the material world with a spirit of enjoyment. In this kingdom of anxiety, the concept of sambhogvad, the philosophy of enjoyment, transforms into prakrita sahajya philosophy. So here he's enjoining that one must take sannyas, at least sannyas from the current of formidable offensive thought. It's kind of an awkward way of, I mean, it is a translation, but to give up offensive thought, at least, become free of that, and then one can flow with the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Etek bolia prabhu darya shabare prem alingana suki puna puna hare kore. After speaking in this way, the Lord repeatedly embraced everyone with love. Alingana, prem alingana. Alingan is the embrace of prema. Imagine, getting embraced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can only hope for that. Prabhu vaki bhakta shab kichu sthira hoila sab prabodhiya prabhu nija base gela. All the devotees became somewhat pacified by the Lord's words. The Lord returned to his home. As this news spread from person to person and eventually reached Sachi, she became practically lifeless. Dehi nahi rahi pran. Shunya shachir dehi nahi rahi pran. She, rahi means to maintain, keep your life, pran. In her body, dehi, she couldn't do that after shunya, after hearing that. This news spread. Parampara, just see the word. Parampara soko jyote gakyan. The parampara spread from person to person. Parampara. On hearing that the Lord would take sannyas, Sachi, the mother of the universe, Shachi Jagan Mata, became so distressed she forgot where she was. Muchita hoyakshani pare pitibite niravadi dara boy napare rokite. She repeatedly fell unconscious to the ground and was unable to control the incessant flow of tears from her eyes. One day, as the lotus eyed Lord was sitting at home, Mother Shachi began to speak to him with tears in her eyes. My dear son, don't leave your mother. This sinful person is surviving only by looking at your face. How will I survive without seeing your lotus eyes, your moon-like face, your reddish lips, your pearly teeth resembling kunda flowers, or your elephant-like gait? How will I survive without hearing your words that shower nectar? Amiyadara. The face of Gauri has been compared to the moon. His teeth to kunda flowers or pearls, and his every step has been compared to the walking of the elephant. Advaita Shivas Adi Tor Anuchar Dhanandache Tor Pranera Doshar. Stay at home, happily perform Sangirtan in the company of your followers headed by Advaita and Shivas, your intimate companion Nityananda, and your dear friends like Gadadhar. You incarnate to preach religious principles, but what kind of religious principle is it to leave your mother? Tumi dharma maya jadi jonani chariba he ke mate jagatumi dharma bujaiba. You are the personification of religious principles, yet you will leave your mother? How then will you teach religious principle to the world? Gaurasundara was a preacher of religious principle and the personification of religious principle. So Shachidev wanted to know how he would protect the religious principle by abandoning the service of his mother. This question came to the mouth of Mother Sachi for the purpose of teaching the Bhagavad principle, Savai Pungsam Purudharma, the supreme occupation
for all humanity. Service to the Supreme Lord is more important than temporary worldly dharma. Shachi was grief-stricken with love as she spoke. As Vishwambar listened, his throat became choked. He was unable to answer. Premete rodito kantana kareta. Tomara grajama charya chalila. Vaikunte tomal bap gomana kavila. Your elder brother left me. Your father has gone to Vaikuntha. Yet I forgot all grief, looking at your face. If you leave me, I will certainly die. Tumi gele pram mui sarvata charimu. My dear Gauranga, it is not proper for you to leave your widowed mother. Anatini. Sava loyir koro nija angane, angane kirtan nitananda achai sahaya. Perform kirtan with the devotees in your own house. Nityananda is there to assist you. If I look at your two eyes filled with love and your two long arms, your words shower nectar. I look at your two eyes filled with love and your two long arms, your words shower nectar. Without a lamp, my house is illuminated by the effulgence of your body. How much nectar emanates from your reddish lotus feet? As Sachi became grief-stricken with love, speaking, Vishwambar sat and listened. It appeared as though Kaushalya was instructing Ramchandra. Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda bestow happiness and are always filled with ecstasy. Thus Vrindavan Das sings their blissful glories. Vrindavan Das Rasa Gaya. Emata Vilap Koraya Sachi Mata Muka Tuli Takora Na Kohe Kong Kota. As Mother Sachi lamented in this way, the Lord neither raised his head nor spoke a word. Bibana hoila sacha asti charmashar sakakula devi kichuno korea haha. Sachi became pale and appeared like skin and bones. She was overcome with lamentation and had stopped eating. Asti is bones, charma is a skin and bones. Sakakula, she was overcome with lamentation. And ahar, though, where our objective is to give up eating, but he or she gave up eating is not considered, well, she automatically didn't eat. Reminds me a little bit of the day that I remember we were standing up in the guest house of Krishna Balaram that faces out toward that gate, the back gate, and that those days there was some restaurant. The restaurant was there. Anyway, and then there were some, just a few weeks before Prabhupada left the planet, and there were some rickshaws with flat-bedded rickshaws. They bring things on. And there was some bad big bags. I asked somebody who was standing with me, what are the big bags? And they said, that's salt for the samadhi. And Prabhupada hadn't left his body, but so I remember thinking or being so kind of non, I just couldn't eat because a certain type of anxiety or something. I just seemed, why would I eat? You know, I'm going to eat. Why am I going to eat? Prabhupada's going to be leaving, and here's the salt and for the samadhi. So you can sometimes you can feel a little bit of what that mood must be. The Lord neither raised his head nor spoke a word. She became pale. He stopped eating. Realizing that his mother would not survive, the Lord took her in a solitary place and spoke some confidential words to her. Prabhu bole mata tumi stira koroman. Shuno jata janamami tomara nanda. Lord said, Mother, pacify your mind and hear how many lifetimes I have been your son. Shuno jata janamami tomara nanda. Nandan is the son. Sisachi nandan.
Chitta diyashunaho apana guna gram kon kale achilo toma prishninam. Hear attentively about your own glory. Sometimes in the past, your name was Prishni. At that time, you were my mother. Later, you were in heaven as Aditi. At that time, I incarnated as Vaman, and you were my mother. Later, you became Devahuti, and I again became your son as Kapila. Then you became Kshalya. I again became your son as Ramchandra. Then you became Devaki and Mathura, and you were locked up within the prison of the demon Kamsa. At that time, you were also my mother. You are the same Devaki. I am your son. Aradui janme sankirtana rambe hoiba toma putra ami avilambe. While inaugurating this sankirtan movement, I will soon take two more births as your son. Arambe means to inaugurate, to begin the sankirtan. And the deity form of the Lord is made of substance like clay, while the name of the Lord consists of sound vibration. So there are two incarnations of Shachinandan, the deity incarnation in the holy name. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 17:22, it is stated, Kali Kali Namarupi Krishna Avatar, Namahoite Hoi Savaj Jagata Nishtar. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Krishna. This is the statement of Gaura Sundara. The deity form of the Lord is not different from the Lord himself in the holy name. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majja 17, it is stated, Nam Vigraha Svarup Teen Ek Rup Tine Bed Nohitin Sachidananda Rup. The Lord's holy name, his form, and his personality are all one and the same. There's no difference between them, since all of them are absolute. They are all transcendentally blissful. In my form as the deity, you are my mother as the earth. In my form of the holy name, you are my mother as the tongue. In this way, you are my mother, birth after birth. There is never any separation between you and me. I have sincerely disclosed this to you so that you should not feel any more grief. Mano dukkha nakoro sarvata. After the Lord spoke these most confidential topics, Sachi became somewhat pacified. Shunishachya Kichu Stira means she became steady in her mind. Hoiloman. Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chanjan Vrindavandasa Tachu Pada Jugegan. Accepting Sri Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu as my life and soul, I, Vrindavandasa, sing the glories of the lotus feet. Thus ends the translation of the Gaudiya Bhasha commentary. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Majjha Khanda, chapter 27, the Lord pacifies feelings of separation. Chapter 28, the Lord pastime of accepting sannyas. 28. This chapter describes Sriman Mahaprabhu's disclosure to Nityananda and his desire to accept sannyas from Keshav Bharati and his instruction to inform five other persons headed by Mother Sachi. The Lord's engagement the entire day before taking sannyas in the ecstasy of kirtan with the devotees, his instruction to everyone to worship Krishna, his order to Mother Sachi to cook a preparation with a bottle gourd given by Sridhar and some milk given by one fortunate person, and his eating that preparation. Sachi Mata is sitting at the doorway prior to the Lord's departure from home, the Lord solacing Mother Sachi and leaving home after taking dust from her feet. Sachi Mata's state of inertia, the devotees crying on hearing about the Lord's departure, the atheistic blasphemer's lamentation, the Lord's imparting the sannyas mantra onto Keshav Bharati's ear, and Keshav Bharati awarding the Lord his sannyas name. Before accepting sannyas, Sri Gohari called Sri Nityananda Prabhu to a solitary place, informed him he would take sannyas from Keshav Bharati. He also ordered Nityananda to inform five other persons headed by Sachi Mata. The day before taking sannyas, the Lord spent the entire day with everyone in the ecstasy of Sankirtan. After giving them the remnants of his flower garland, he instructed them to constantly chant the names of Krishna, worship Krishna. This would greatly please him. After instructing everyone in this way, the Lord returned home. Shortly thereafter, Sridhar came there with a lau or bottle gourd in his hand. The Lord desired to eat the item offered by his devotee, ordered his mother to cook it. At that time, one fortunate person gave some milk to the Lord,
who then instructed his mother to cook a preparation with the bottle gourd and milk. In great pleasure, Mother Sachi cooked that preparation. After sending everyone home, the Lord took his meal and then rested for a while in yoga nidra or mystic sleep. Gadadhar and Haridas took rest by his side. Mother Sachi, however, was unable to sleep. She cried continuously. When Mahaprabhu realized that less than 2 hours of the night remained and prepared to leave home, Gadadhar expressed his desire to accompany him, but the Lord told him he would go alone. Mother Sachi understood that the time for the Lord's departure had come, and she sat down in the doorway. Shishi Gaurasundar solaced Mother Sachi in various ways, then departed after taking the dust from her feet. Mother Sachi remained sitting there in a state of inertia. When the devotees came to offer obeisances to the Lord in the morning, they found Mother Sachi still sitting in the doorway. When Shivas asked why she was sitting there like that, Mother Sachi would not reply. She simply shed tears. Eventually, she said with indifference that the devotees were eligible for Vishnu's items, so they could take whatever they wanted, and she would go wherever she pleased. Hearing her words, realizing the Lord had left home, devotees fell unconscious to the ground. After crying for some time, the devotees sat down around Mother Sachi. News that the Lord had left home spread throughout Nadia. When the blasphemous atheists heard the news, even they began to cry and repent that they had failed previously to recognize the Lord. After crossing the Ganga, Mahaprabhu went to Katak Nagara Katwa. Those who were instructed to join him also came one by one and met him there. As the Lord approached Keshava Bharati, he immediately stood up with the reverence on seeing the effulgence of the Lord's body. The Lord then offered prayers to Keshava Bharati and asked him for mercy. Mukunda, the other devotees, began to perform kirtan. The Lord danced in ecstasy. Many people came there, became struck with wonder seeing the Lord's beauty. When Keshava Bharati saw the Lord's devotional mood, he noted he was the Supreme Lord and spiritual master of the entire world, and that he had descended for the purpose of instructing people. Chandrasekhar Acharya engaged in performing the required rituals according to regulation. When the barber sat down to shave the Lord's head, he began to cry. Devotees headed by Nityananda also began to cry, and the demigods who remained unseen also began to shed tears. When at the end of the day the head shaving was somehow completed, Gaurasundar, instructing spiritual master of all, pretentiously whispered the sannyas mantra into the ear of Keshava Bharati and asked him whether it was the proper sannyas mantra. On the order of the Lord, Keshava Bharati then whispered the same mantra into the Lord's ear. The Lord looked extraordinarily attractive when he was dressed in saffron cloth. When Keshava Bharati desired to give the Lord his sannyas name, Shuddha Saraswati appeared on his tongue and said that since the Lord was bringing the people of the world back to Chaitanya consciousness by preaching Krishna Kirtan, his name was Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Hearing this, the vibration of Jai Jai arose in the four directions, and a shower of flowers fell from the sky. Jai Jai, Sri Gauranga Vishnu Priyana, Jiva Gan Pratikoro Shubha Drishtipa. Glories to Sri Gauranga, the Lord of Vishnu Priya. Please bestow your auspicious glance on the living entities. In this way, Sri Vishnubhar continuously passed his time in the ecstasy of Sankirtan. Svechamaya Maheshvara Kakwane Kikore Ishvara Marma Keha Bujaite Napari. No one can understand the activities of the Supreme Lord, who is fully independent Lord of all. Niravadi Parananda Sankirtana Range Hari Se Token Sarva Vaishnavira Sange. The Lord always enjoyed transcendental happiness while performing kirtan with his devotees. All the devotees were so overwhelmed in transcendental ecstasy they forgot that the Lord was going to leave. The devotees enjoyed pastimes with the Supreme Lord, whom the Vedas personify desire to see. Personified Vedas simply meditate on the form of the Supreme Lord, who is their goal of life, but the devotees of the Lord directly enjoy pastimes with the Supreme Lord. On the day the Lord was going to leave home to take sannyas, he privately spoke to Nityananda. Shanoshuna Nityananda Svarupa Goshai Ekota Bongibe Sobe Pancha Janatai. Oh, Nityananda Swarup, please listen. You should tell only five persons what I am about to say. On the coming Makara Sankranti, January 14th or 15th, I will certainly leave home and take sannyas. Purport. The planets traverse through the wheel of the zodiac. This wheel of the zodiac is divided into 12 equal portions. The portions are each 1/12 of the zodiac wheel, and each are further divided into 30 parts. The 12 portions of the zodiac are Mesha, Aries, Virsha, Taurus, Mithun, Gemini, Karkata, Cancer, Singha, Leo, Kanya, Virgo, Tula, Libra, Vrishchik, Scorpio, Danu, Sagittarius, Makara, Capricorn, Kumbha, Aquarius, and Mina, Pisces. The movement of the sun through the Rashis is called Ravi Samkramana. The entrance of the sun into Karkata Rashi is called Dakshinayana, the southern way. And the entrance into Makara Rashi is called Uttarayana, the northern way. In every solar year, there is one Dakshinayana and one Uttarayana. Makara Sankramana, or entrance of the sun into Makara Rashi from Danu Rashi is called Uttarayana Sankramana. The stationary wheel of the Rashis is calculated from the nakshatras. The increment between beginning of the stationary Narayana and movable Shayana zodiac is the measurement known as the Ayanangsa. Gorsundar appeared in this world before this measurement was calculated by Srinivas of Radha Desh. It is recorded that the Lord appeared in 1455 AD 1534. And Srinivas introduced his astrological calculation from 1489 Shaka, 1568. Later, Smarta Sri Raghunandan of Bengal took Srinivas's astrological calculation and presented it in the book called Ganan Vidhi. Then in 1513 and 1521, Raghavananda published two books, Siddhanta Rahasya and Dina Chandrika. The present-day Panjikas in Bengal are calculated according to the books like Dina Chandrika and the later Dina Kumudi. Calculations in Bengal during the time of Sriman Mahaprabhu were based on Narayan system. This is why the author is referred here into Narayan Makara Sankranti. Lest we forget how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was a renowned astrologer. There is a village named Katwa near Indrani. At that place lives a pure soul, Keshav Bharati. Indrani was a famous place at that time. The subdivision of Indrani was situated near the present-day Katwa. Katwa Katoya is a subdivision situated in the district of Burdwan. There is a railway station of this name in the Bendelbaharwa line. This place is still situated on the bank of the Ganga. Keshav Bharati was a sannyasi. He performed the duties of a sannyas guru. There are 108 sannyas names current in the ancient Sampradaya of Vishnu Swami. Later on, Sri Shankaracharya, who propounded the philosophy of impersonalism, took 10 of the sannyas names and introduced them in his Sampradaya. Bharati is one of those names. It is said that in Sringeri, South India, the three classes among 10 sannyasis are known as Saraswati, Bharati, and Puri. Saraswati is considered first class, and Bharati second, and Puri third. Bharati was the name of his class, and Keshava was his name. Even today, many people identify themselves as descendants of Keshav Bharati. These topics have been elaborately described in the book named Vaishnava Manjusa Samahriti. I will certainly take sannyas from him. The five persons you may tell are my mother, Gadadhar, Brahmananda Bharati, Sri Chandrasekhar Acharya, and Mukunda. The Lord said this to Nityananda Sarup in private, so no one else knew. Thereafter, Nityananda Prabhu told those five persons about the Lord's coming departure. The Lord passed that day joyfully engaged in Sankirtan along with the Vaishnavas. After happily taking noon meal, the Lord went to see the Ganga in the evening. He offered obeisances to the Ganga, sat on the bank for some time, and then returned home. Gorsundar then sat at home, surrounded by his followers. No one knew the Lord would leave home that day. Therefore, everyone happily enjoyed his company. The lotus-eyed Lord sat there with his limbs decorated with a beautiful flower garland, scented sandalwood pulp. Every Vaishnava who came to see him brought along sandalwood pulp and a flower garland. The Lord attracted so many people, no one knew where they had all come from. Even Lord Brahma was unable to count the number of persons who came to see the Lord. The Lord then gave each of them a garland from his neck and instructed, sing the glories of Krishna. Agyakori Prabhu Sabe Krishna Gaugya. Apanagala Mala Shabakari Dya Agyakori Shabra Prabhu Sabe Krishna Gaugya. Agyakori. That's, he gave the instructions. Ami Agya. As he was accustomed, the Lord gave every resident of Shimayapur village of Nadia a flower garland. At the same time, he entrusted them with the responsibility of commission or commission. The word sabhakari refers to men and women without distinction, to all varnas and ashrams without distinction. Similar word is used there, prabhu kohe sabhakari, in the Adi Lila. It's a well-known verse. I instruct everyone, sabhakari. It's used in Lochandasa. So many nice word used. Sabhakari, jache, everyone is begging for the holy name. And he says he orders everyone sabhakari, hauk, to eat, to distribute this holy name to everywhere. And one and all in every direction, and to eat the fruits and distribute them. And also in a later verse says, and by eating these fruits, then everyone will become perfected. He authorized only that person who follows the order of the Lord to sing the glories of Krishna. One who duplicitously associates with women instead of serving Krishna by following the order of the Lord can never become an order-carrying servant of Mahaprabhu. The neck of such a person will never be adorned with Mahaprabhu's garland. The flower garlands of Sri Chaitanya Chandra have now been placed around the necks of those who engage in singing the glories of Krishna in the Sri Chaitanya Math of Sridhar Mayapur, for they sing the glories of Krishna. The recent prediction made by Bhagwat Janananda Brahmacharya Mahashaya is a healthy state, in a healthy state 15 days or a month before his disappearance, has been published in our Gaudiya magazine. In the Sri Chaitanya Math of Sridhar Mayapur, the flower garland of Sri Gaurasundara is given to everyone, and they can all sing the glories of Krishna because they follow the teachings and orders of Gaurasundara. They are initiated into Shikshastaka, and they are nourished by Sri Rupa Pada Upadeshamrita. The glorification of Krishna inaugurated by Gaura takes place in the Academy of Spiritual Education. The topics of Krishna have been elaborated, described by Sri Jiva Goswami Prabhu, who was a follower of Rupa, in his book Krishna Sandarbha, and he further described these topics in his commentary on Brahma Sangita. In the Bhagavatam, the Purusha avatars of Krishna have been classified as plenary portion, Amsa, and portions of plenary portions, Kala. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, or the primeval Lord. The Naimittika avatars, Matsya Korma Varaha, Narasingha, Vaman, Parashram, Dasarati Ram, Rohini Sun Ram, Buddha, and Kalki, the Purusha avatars, Karna Vashayi Karbo Dakshayi and Kira Dakshayi, the Chaturvyuha quadruple manifestations, and the manifestations in the spiritual sky are all Swayam Rupa. Krishna's Amsa and Kala, Vaibhava avatar, Manvantara avatar, Yuga avatar, Guna avatars, who are in charge of the material creation. The Avesha avatars are separate from the Tat Ekatma incarnations of the Lord. Swayam Rupa Krishna is the original source of all those who descend from Vaikuntha into the material universe among the living entities or demigods. Sri Krishna is Akhila Rasa Amrita Murti, the reservoir of all pleasure. Sri Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha, the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Krishna is the creator, maintainer, destroyer of time. The Purusha avatar is an Amsa of Krishna's Prakash Vigraha. Maya is a portion of the Purusha avatar's ingredient cause. The three material qualities are the portion of that portion. The insignificant portion of these three material qualities creates, maintains, and annihilates the material world. Manifestations of the Absolute Truth like Narayan are identified as Krishna's specific limbs. Krishna is the basis of Ananda and full of knowledge. He wanders on the bank of Yamuna. He is found in the grazing pastures. He is the maintainer of the cows and cowherds. He is feared by even death personified. Apana samsutin gauram yanna visho gunam tatak sajovim ucheta yad bibeti svayam bhuvaha svayam bhayam. He is self-manifested in the manifester of others. He is the supreme object of love. There's no difference between his body and self. He appears differently according to the vision of different people. Yad yad diaturagaya vibhavayanti. He is the Mahendra, the king of kings. From the go or cows of Goloka, all sacrifice emanate. From Go, all the demigods are manifest. And from Go, all the Vedas consisting of six limbs are born. He is Govinda, the lord of that, Goloka. He is the supreme lord, cause of all causes, director of all cause and effect, and the beloved of the eternally liberated gopis. He is Swayam Rupa, and his name is not different from himself. Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Gao Krishna, Naam, Krishna Bina Keho Kichu Nabhaviha Ana. Glorify Krishna, worship Krishna, chant the name of Krishna. Don't think of anything other than Krishna. Purport. By chanting the name Krishna, one loses a qualification to speak on topics that are not related to Krishna. If one sings the name of Krishna, his eternal happiness and that of all others increases. By worshiping the name of Krishna, one worships Krishna himself. Krishna is separate from objects that are seen through covered vision as superior to Krishna. Therefore, one must chant Krishna. One must describe Krishna. One must worship Krishna. One need not remember any other word or name other than Krishna, for since all others are more or less separate from Krishna, they provide no opportunity for living entity to achieve the complete auspiciousness of attaining Krishna. The concept of something superior to Krishna is a covered form of Krishna realization and simply separates Krishna from Krishna's reservoir of pleasure. Attempting to increase the perfection of Krishna's reservoir of pleasure on the pretext of adding rasas that are not related to Krishna results in a disgusting mixture of rasa. Swayamrupa Krishna is the fountainhead of all manifestations of the Lord. Therefore, if one does not remember Krishna, one is guilty of the faults of either imperfection, impurity, impermanence, or confinement. If one tries to deny Krishna's position as Anadi or having no creator, and Adi or the origin of all by separating him from his Sachit and underformed, then one is attacked by the spirit of material enjoyment. The bhuvachik or attractiveness indicated in the verbal root Krish refers to complete eternal existence or complete eternal knowledge, and Na refers to spiritual pleasure. In qualities and objects not related to Krishna, there is a possibility of difference between the cause and effect. But since Krishna and Na are both the attractors and the attracted, there is no possibility of any difference between the cause and the effect in their qualities and objects. The philosophy of impersonalism is associated with the dependent nature of the material world. The extraordinary concept of an object that is spiritual, transcendental to the senses and beyond the range of experimental knowledge is found in the yoga rudhi, Vritti. The connotation derived by combining two or more words, in this case, Krish and Na. The name of Krishna, the fact that he is non-different from his name, he is non-different from his form, he is non-different from his qualities, he is non-different from his pastimes, is not obstructed by the yoga rudhi Vritti. If you have any affection for me, then don't speak about any topic other than Krishna. That's verse 27. If you have any affection for me, don't speak of any topic other than Krishna. Purport. Contrary characteristics are manifest by the vidbhadrudhi and the avidbhadrudhi of sound vibrations. There is a separate understanding in the difference established between one word and another. The faculty of a word that establishes unity and diversity is the strength of a word's vidvadrudhi, or conventional meaning of words, according to enlightened persons. Therefore, in the vidvadrudhi of the word Krishna, there is no attribution of any sentiment for enjoying object other than Krishna. If there is such attribution, then it will be understood it will be understood that diversity has come to disturb the Advaita Gyan, absolute truth. This is subordination to Maya. The discrimination arising from acceptance that liberated personality's chanting of Krishna's names through Vidvad Rudi is an irresolute, diverse, many-branched process is full of defects. Therefore, while teaching topics of spiritual knowledge to both students under the guidance of Gangadas Pandit as well as students and teachers of the mundane schools of Navadvipa, Gorsundar composed the first verse of Shikshastak. In the second verse of Shikshastak, there is an elaboration of the first. In the third verse, the Lord reveals to the world the method of properly serving the first verse. In the fourth verse, he describes a process for giving up desires that are not related to Krishna. In the fifth verse, he describes giving up realization of the Supreme Lord's opulences while worshiping the supremely blissful absolute truth and chanting the holy names as an eternal servant. The reactions of the body, mind, and speech as one progresses in chanting the holy names are described in the sixth verse. According to consideration of the seventh verse, that the holy names in the Lord are none different, a practitioner achieves perfection by attaining the state of apanadasa, the realization of one's original constitutional position. He taught the eighth verse so that the same practitioner could become decorated with all the symptoms of complete surrender by freeing himself from the bad association of aversion to Hari, while giving up the concept of enjoyment in the course of this. He forbade all of his beloved devotees from discussing any topic indirectly related to Krishna. The living entities bereft of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra's affection do not accept the Supreme Lord. Living entities bereft of Krishna Chaitanya's affection do not accept the Supreme Lord, who is full of transcendental rasa, as their beloved, because their hearts are dry and hard. No one other than the Swayamrup Krishna is bold enough to impart such instruction. So, yeah, just to recap that, I guess the Shikshastakam, then the, what we have is the first verse that he taught, that Chaitadarpana Marjanam Bhav Mahadavagni Vapanam Shri Karavachandrika Vitaranam. It says here, he instructed that first, and he composed it for the students and teachers of the mundane schools in Navadvipa and in Gangadas Pandits in that school also, both the students under the guidance of Gangadas Pandit. In the second verse, of course, the first verse, there's so many purports written about the first and all these verses, so the second one is an elaboration. There is an elaboration of the first verse. Nam Nam Akari Bhavda. First, he's established the holy name, what it does, and then he says, Nam Nam Akari Bahudha Nijasarva. It has all the power of the Krishna himself. Nam Nam Akari Bahudha Nija Sarva Shakti. It means his old Shakti is there within the holy name. It's the power of Krishna himself. Nam Nam Akari Bahudha Nija Sarva Shakti. Tathrapita Niyabhatak Smarane Nakala. There's no restriction of time and place. Nakala etadrashi tavakripa, still you're so merciful, tavakripa etadrashi tavakripa bhagavama maapi durdaivam. But he says still his mentality that he's showing what should be our mentality, durdaivam, I have so bad luck. Bad daiva usually refers to providence, but he's saying durdaivam idrish mahajani. Jani means to something being born. So he's saying that Madhishi Mahaji Nanu Raga, my Raga, my attachment to that holy name never took birth. So then the rest of it, yeah. He gets on and on. Detachment, the humility, and then Nadanam Najanana Sundarim. That's all described here. And so it's a nice description of the Shikshastakam. And but it's interesting to see that it was composed way back during his teaching times when he was young, and then gradually, I mean, it's hard to say, but if he did them all then, all the seventh verse, Yugaitam Nimishena Chakshusha Pravishayitam Sunyayitam Jagat Sarvam. Seventh verse, that the holy names of the Lord are non-difference in the practitioner achieves perfection by attaining the state of Apanadas, realization of one's original constitutional position. And the eighth one is the same practitioner can become decorated with all the symptoms of complete surrender, whether you kick me down, make me brokenhearted. Ashlishiva Padaratam. Ashlishiva means embracing. Padaratam means to be trampled under the pada of the feet. Padaratam Manashtyamama Darshanam. I don't get to see you. Marmahatam, you break my heart. Marmahatam Karotava Tata. Marmahatam Karotava. Lampato. Your lampato means a debauchee. You go off to. It's actually the mood of Radharani that she's saying you can go off with other. You might go off with other consorts. And my prananathas, who's eva napara. There are no other natha. I have no other. Anyway, so we can take. If there's any discussions here.
Muted.
Could you elaborate a little on...
There's a huge echo on my side. But now it's gone, okay.
I muted that.
Yeah.
Elaborate a little on exactly why it is... Oh, I hear myself echoing now.
I don't hear your echo.
I'll make it short.
No, the echo
was
very prominent.
I think the echo may be coming from Pushkar.
Why don't you just mute him temporarily?
All right.
You probably asked a quick question.
Okay.
So, I know it
was coming from Pushkar.
All right. So, we were talking the description a lot about Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. And see, why is it? I know in our line, we don't so much like to talk about it. It's such a sad thing when Mahaprabhu took sannyas. But like for us, if somebody takes sannyas, generally it's like a wonderful thing, becoming liberated from this world and going much further, potentially much deeper into spiritual life, and will be that person will be much more engaged in assisting others and entering deeper into his relationship with Krishna. But why so sad? Why is it so devastating to us when Mahaprabhu took sannyas? When he took sannyas, it seemed also he went much deeper. It wasn't until that time of his sannyas that he exhibited the symptoms of the real symptoms of devotion. It seems like perhaps we could rejoice in the fact that Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went everywhere preaching and performing pastimes. So why is it that genuinely we don't want to discuss that so much, or it's so painful to in our line?
Back to you. Sorry, I've got to, now I have to unmute. Pushkar, sorry. Okay, there you go.
All right. You hear me now, but then everyone else is muted or something. Okay, I don't know, all of a sudden we have this echo problem, but yeah, I didn't know that we won't discuss the sannyas. I mean, we do discuss it, but we means whoever, Gaudiya, Gaudiya's, people discuss it. I don't think there's anything wrong. I mean, the whole thing's being explained here anyway, but we don't feel the pain, the same kind of pain that we told that story how there was a revelation by Gopal Bhatta when he was a little boy, how he had the association for 4 months. And even then, he still was pining that he felt like he missed so much not having seen Mahaprabhu's grahastha pastimes, early pastimes. So I guess either the grass is always greener on the other side, but we don't, yeah, I guess we relish that more. We worship him in that form, but I don't think that I don't particularly make a great distinction, but Mother Sachi is the main one, and those intimate devotees who had his personal association, you can imagine is the beauty of his, the way he looked. He still looked amazing even after shaving up, so they got used to that. So so that was the, yeah, I mean, I don't really feel it artificially. I can't say I feel a pronounced pain. I of course you empathize when you read the pastime, and it's very relishable how, so it's painful in that way, just like it's painful when I had to think of Prabhupada's going to leave the planet, you know, they're thinking he's going to leave, and well, they didn't know what would happen. Of course, they could all get his association at that time. They were thinking he's just going to go off. We have no idea. Like his Vishwaroop brother, he just left and no one ever saw him again. They had actually no clue, according to this, at least under the power of Yoga Maya, they had no clue what would happen, where he would just go off. But here he's consoling and saying, and not only, you know, I'll be around, you know, then he makes a deal that he goes to Puri and anyone who wants to gets to see him. So I think that was part of the lamentation. And even Mother Sachi saw him once or twice. And so the main thing is Mother Sachi's separation. And he's revealing that she is Kosalya and she's Aditi and she's Devaki and she's Prishni and... So, I think that's all explained right when we just read.
Okay.
Anything we have to know about it is there.
You know, I don't understand how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is using the same logic that Sri Krishna gives to the gopis, basically. I mean, Krishna was saying, if you remember me, it's the same as me personally being here. So he's saying that the deity and the holy name, there's no difference. But if there's no difference, we see that the personal associates of the Lord are in absolute grief. How is it that there's no difference? Otherwise, why would they be in such agony?
Well, I thought I got a little bit of that, but I don't really have any full answer. But my answer was that they had no idea if he was just going to go off and never, ever be seen again. Of course, unless you left, you know, Bengal, you left Navadvip, Mayapur, and went, took a 2-week, you know, and take off 4 months or whatever, what, you weren't going to go alone. You would go with Shivananda Sain's party and then go after 4 months back. Not everybody could do that. Maybe they had real jobs, you know, or something. So, but if occasionally they would go also. And then the last 6 years, he didn't really see anybody. But at least for those first 18 years, even those 6 years, he went off to South India. No one even in Puri saw him off most of the time. He was gone for those 5-6 years and traveling. But, you know, just the way it is. Taktva torn, it's all explained in Apta Tornamashesha. Taktva Sudustaja Sare Pritaraja Lakshmi 11 Kano in that third chapter verse.
What does Hridaya Chaitanya Guru, what's his name? I forgot.
Hridaya Chaitanya,
what was his guru's name?
Gauridas Pandit.
Okay, so Gauridas Pandit. He was, you know, saying, so if the deities are non-different from you, then fine, let the deities go and you stay. And
yeah, they showed the deities stayed on the altar and the deities walked off the altar. Yeah, that was...
Okay, so then if there's... the devotees should understand there's no difference, then why are they lamenting so much? If there's not intrinsically a difference between Krishna's remembrance, Krishna's holy name, kirtan, etc. Do you not understand what I'm getting to here?
Yeah. I'm not sure if everybody knew about the Gauridas Pandit revelation pastime at that time either, but I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I mean, yeah, Gauridas Pandit was there and there was a wild kirtan and then they went running off the altar. install the deities. And then so no, you know, you can have the deities. I want you guys here. I don't care about these deities. Not a big deal. Oh, said, okay. And then the deities, they transformed into, so that, yeah, you proved your own question. I mean, that kind of answered the whole question. But of course, yeah, they, I mean, there was always some lamentation, even, you know, after you sannyasi and Gadadhar Pandit, to hell with my Kshetra sannyas, and then Krishna's Kaviraj says, it's too painful to even describe the separation that Ramananda Roy felt, or that Gadadhar felt in, from Lord Chaitanya. So, I mean, they spent their whole lives. I mean, you know, Rupa Goswami, that's how they gave up their lamentation. Rupa Goswami said,
can we say this then, that there is no difference between the holy name, the deity, remembrance of the Lord, etc., but still there's different tastes? So therefore, that's why the devotees are in such agony, because they're not experiencing his direct association, so they're losing that taste?
Well, there's that sloka from the Ujjala Nilamani, what does it say? Viraha, or Samboga Ashnute, that Viraha, the experience of separation, nourishes the feeling of, without that, Vina, Samboga, Vina, anyway, I'll look it up. Without the feelings of separation, you cannot have the feeling of meeting. So if we take it like that, then we understand all philosophy. Absence makes the heart grow fonder type philosophy. I mean, in our case, we didn't have either direct association, so we're kind of like, but in their case, they had a direct association. So obviously it's going to be like unbelievably, amazingly painful, and it's a real deal where they can't eat for 12 days. And when he finally took sannyas, the devotees, even Advaitacharya, they didn't eat for 12 days until there was some unembodied voice from the astral plane that said, don't worry, he's coming back. You know, they didn't, even until that time, they didn't know if he took sannyas, did he go off, did he go to Gujarat, Canada, you know, they didn't know where he, but they were pacified when they saw him, and then they knew he'd be in Puri, even though he left for years, you know, in the beginning. Imagine the pain when he was gone, you know, he just went off with Balabhadra or Halakrishna Das, and that was also painful.
You know, I'm wondering, how come there's no mention here of Mother Sachi's lamentation, but then what about Vishnu Priya? Or will that come later?
Yeah, that's something, isn't it? Obviously. I mean, she was eating only, what was it, like a few grains of rice a day or something, and she would eat, I mean, is it possible? I have to read it again, but she ate only a grain of rice for every mantra or every round. I mean, if it was every round, that wouldn't be very much, but maybe.
But at this time, when he's taking sannyas, isn't it curious that there's no description about, so where was Vishnu Priya?
Yeah, it's not mentioned here now, but it will be.
Oh, okay.
I mean, then Vishnu Priya just had to push on, you know. In India, you don't go off looking for a new lover or something. And those, especially in those days, forget it. You know, even if you're only 16, 17, that's it. You know, sometimes the widows in Vrindavan, they're mostly old, but once in a while you see young ones there. But nowadays, young ones could get remarried or something. But in those days, forget it. It's not even on the radar screen. That's it. Let's say your husband dies or takes sannyas and you're only 17, then 16, 17, whatever. So you might live till 97, you know. You have another 80 years.
Can I ask just maybe just two more quick questions? Just because this is, we covered so much in these readings.
Well, there was about five or six giant purport, not giant, but one page and a quarter, and
very heavy, you know, like full of stuff. So can you, you see on the screen I have 13. He mentions about this, the living entities have this philosophy of apophysis. So I looked it up. I never heard the word before, but it's...
Which word you never heard of before?
Apothesis.
Apotheosis.
Apotheosis, okay.
Apotheosis is a word that I'm a little bit familiar with because in Western paintings, they have... that use that word for like a theme for a painting, and it's like this really far out... an apotheosis of, you know, even sometimes it's there's a picture by this famous French guy and it says the apotheosis of such and such, and it shows Napoleon with a bunch of famous generals and angels and they're all gone up to heaven, and so it has some kind of a where they transform somebody into a god, but wasn't, yeah. I think, okay. Right?
That I read in the definition. So what does it mean in the context of this?
Yeah, they've turned these so-called bogus avatars. Since the pure devotees of the Lord have accepted two incarnations of Lord Gaurasundara as a Vaish avatar or empowered incarnation, sinful people attempt to apply apotheosis on living entities who are forced to accept the three fruits of their karma. I wasn't sure about the... I guess the three fruits of their karma is good, bad, and in between, aren't they? So yeah, the three states of life, that might mean the three modes of nature, but so yeah, apotheosis, he's putting it in quotes. I'm hoping that between Pundarik Vijayaniti and Bhumipati is a Bengali translator, and Pundarik tries to tweak it, make it readable, that this is what they meant. Yeah, they came up with that word, apotheosis. So when you read it in the dictionary, it said exactly what?
Well, it's like this, the greatest achievements of mankind or something.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm saying it's like a metamorphosis where they be, you know, someone from goes to heaven and becomes a, you know, an angel or a god. So in that term, they've used a proper word. Practically, this is a... I think this is a pretty good choice for a word in the context of this, what they're talking about in this purport. Apply apotheosis, in other words, a state of a beatific, you know, state to an ordinary, mundane entity who is just, like he describes here, apparently passing through the states of life. And obviously, they haven't attained any sort of beatification or apotheosis.
All right,
so
okay.
Using it in quotations, just because it's sarcastic.
Okay. All right, so in other words, they're saying that they put him on the same level.
They've transformed some dog into God.
Okay, I understood. It was a little difficult language, at least for me.
Yeah, anyway, I think it's just sarcastically saying, you know, they've deified some nonsense rascal.
I hate to take up the whole show here, soapbox, but just really would like to understand this. In 15, what he's saying, Sambhogavad, what is that?
Those who preach Sambhog, let me see, Gaudiya Vaishnavas who lack the knowledge, take sannyas from the current of formidable offensive fault. They should, okay, where do we have the word?
In this kingdom of
anxiety, the concept of Sambhogavad, philosophy of enjoyment, transfer. Yeah, so, I mean, it could have said Bhogavad, but Sambhoga means... what I'm getting out of this is one could never realize the essential nature of bhakti if one sees the material world with the spirit of enjoyment. In this kingdom of anxiety, the concept of Sambhogavad, philosophy of enjoyment, transforms into Prakriti Sahajya philosophy. So, basically, I mean, a lot of these are awkward, you know. I find these translations to be, you know, half of it is really kind of awkward, like language, like it should be just redone or something, you know. But what I get out of that is that the tricky word here is Sambhoga, right? And that Vad means a philosophy. And one could never realize the essential nature of devotion if one sees the material with the spirit of enjoyment. So because he's saying spirit of enjoyment, it's a long way of just saying that this is transforming into lust, basically.
Oh, okay.
And prakriti sahajya, that, but because he used the word sambhoga, which we associate as a spiritual term.
That's correct.
What I'm guessing here is that it's also used for mundane, you know, like, I immediately thought of this verse from Chanakya Pandit where, what does it say? Bogo bogartina kuto vidya, vidya bogartina kutaha. Kutaha means where is the vidya of someone who's a bogi? For one who is a vidvan, a learned person, where's the question of material enjoyment? So similarly, the same thing is applying here, that if you're after material enjoyment and at the same time aspiring, trying to mix in artificially or offensively, saying so-called Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, at the same time you're living like an enjoyer, then that just translates into prakriti sahajya, because you're going to, like all these people we've seen lately, you know, followers of, you know, I've seen really weird people that, you know, became disciples of Maharaj so-and-so. And without any check and balance, without being trained, or maybe being trained and forgetting about it in ISKCON, you know, they'll say, oh, Pushkar, they might say, Pushkar, don't you have any more paintings of Radhika? Radhika, and, you know, like, or, you know, with Krishna begging Radharani's feet and all these really kind of elevated, so-called elevated painting. They would ask me about these paintings, you know, to do something very intimate, but they'd want to get, you know, run it by Narayan Maharaj or something. Or they'd buy a painting with the consideration that it was the gopis and might reject something else because, so I kind of familiar with this idea, you know, but yeah, you know for a fact that they might be going to strip clubs or they might be ripping people off left and right, you know, just for their own sense gratification, but at the same time they're talking about, so I mean, I understand this totally, except this is kind of like touching your nose by reaching around your head way of going at it, you know. I think that the mood that Pundarik and Bhumipati had was they want to replicate, trying to rebuild the Bengali and into the way Bhaktisiddhanta would speak if he were speaking English. And so sometimes that makes it a little hard to understand. But yeah, I get the idea what they're saying. It could be said very easily, but this is the way it's being said.
Okay, that was great. Thank you for sharing. Does anybody else have anything else? Otherwise, we are getting a little late here. Sorry, it took up a lot of time there.
Those who are in a hurry can purchase track shoes from me. I'm selling them on the side.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you very much. This is wonderful. We appreciate your guidance going through this.
I don't think I helped that much, but...
No, especially Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's purports sometimes are...
Like I'm saying, they're not, you know, they're Bengali and they've translated them, so we can't really put our full stock and, you know, that they, if he said it in English, it would come out exactly like this. I mean,
yeah.
It's a tough job. I was there when Achyutananda was trying to translate the Chaitanya Bhagavat back in 73 and 4 in India, and he couldn't get past like chapter 2, and it was just, so at that time I didn't know any Bengali or... Still don't know how to, you know, but...
Was this difficulty in translation because of understanding the verses or to translate it into English? What was this difficulty?
Well, I don't see the difference. I mean, you know...
There's a big difference. I mean, he may have understood it in Bengali clear to him if he... I don't know how fluent he was, but assuming he was fluent in Bengali, he may have understood it but thought, geez, how do you say this in English? Or was the difficulty that... You know, they goes very old Bengali, modern Bengali, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, I would say that, first of all, and maybe I'm one of the few people who could say this, Jai Satchinandan was, he wasn't expert in Bengali, but in 76, or he went up to Prabhupada's quarters. He had done the Markin Bhagavat, Prabhupada's poem from the Jaladutta, and he put it in the song version. And he was, now he was a very good musician, so he went up and played it for Prabhupada. I wasn't in there, but just when he came down, it was actually in the evening, I remember this, and I didn't even know he was up there, and I was outside in L.A., you know. And he came down, and I was his friend, so he told me how he had sang for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said to him, if you learn fluent Bengali, tens of thousands, and you sing like this, tens of thousands of people, you can preach to tens of thousands of people, which he unfortunately never did. So he immediately said, oh, like a Chutananda. For some reason, it just, he said that. And Prabhupada said, Chutananda, he does not know Bengali. He only speaks some broken words. So as far as him knowing fluent Bengali, so there's Prabhupada's take on that. And so, yeah, but if you did know fluent Bengali and fluent English, I think you'd be a good candidate to translate. You know, of course, it is ancient words. That's another thing. We're only Bhakti Sun, but he does explain those words in these purports. You know, many times we'll see words that they don't use nowadays, and he somehow knows it, Bhakti Siddhanta. We could say he was a straight-on genius, or, you know, but that would be an understatement.
If I could interject something, I mean, I've had some familiarity with both Spanish and Portuguese for decades now, but the difference between my familiarity with it and someone who's born in the culture and understands all the minute emotional nuances and implications of various words, you almost have to be born into the culture or the language to really get all that detail.
Well, that's why Bhumipati is a Bengali, and he's the main translator, whereas Pundarik Vidyanidhi is familiar with Bengali, and he's the one who, you know, the organizer, and he gets the books printed, the editor. So the combination, they produced this whole thing, but it's definitely not without, you know, some defaults.
And the extra layer of complication, even if you know the language really well, much of this that's being translated was spoken way, way, way back when. Like if you were to ask me to translate, let's say I was fluent in Spanish and you're asking me to translate old Shakespeare or even further back in Shakespeare into Spanish.
You know, Chaucer, right?
Chaucer, yes. Then it becomes a super extra layer, a complication, because even though I'm, you know, relatively fluent in English, old English, I have a hard time with it.
Yeah,
right.
I asked Sundarananda, who's, you know, born in Bengal, you know, what is it like reading Chaitanya Charitamrita for him? And I don't know how accurate his response was, but he said, it's kind of like reading Shakespeare. You know, you get most of it, but you certainly don't get all of it. That was his response, anyway. Who born in Mayapur, born in Bengal.
Right.
I have a Muslim friend in Bangladesh who speaks fluent Bengali, and a lot of Chaitanya's Leela was there in Bangladesh, and I was reading him some Bengali, and he hardly understood any of it.
Well, you know, that's why we have Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and there's some words that he doesn't even say what they are, but a lot of those esoteric, arcane, I guess the word is words, he somehow, you know, he knew him. I mean, you know, probably he knew he was like the best person to do this job. You know, look, all the years went by, decades and centuries, nobody translated the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you know. And then Bhakti Siddhanta did it in the 20s or whatever, in the 1920s or whatever he did it. So there's a reason for that. Because, you know, he's just, I don't know what the descriptions are, walking encyclopedia, you know, he knew it. So
you know,
somehow
a ray of Vishnu,
you know, you can't really get close to where, you know, Prabhupada said, I understood a quarter of it, right? I mean, Prabhupada, a quarter of it, right? So. And you know, but he was speaking English, too. I mean, whatever. So anyway, he was pretty smart. I know. Probably if you had the IQ test, he'd be up in the 300-something, you know, category.
polyglot. You know, he fully understood math and astronomy, astrology, you know, could learn so many languages if he wanted. And they say he could speak village Bengali as well as the most advanced Bengali, which is like 80-something percent Sanskrit anyway. But anyway, yeah, we got what we got. And what I find, I think, is that there's a different, even between this and Chaitanya Charitamrita, as little as I know, I can see there's different words that are used. Some of the words, you know, are similar. Most of them, obviously 90-something percent, but there are certain ones even. And I find that this is even easier and simpler than Chaitanya Charitamrita. Or I don't know why that is, but Chaitanya Charitamrita is also, you know, amazing. So there's, what are they, 12,000 shlokas. Chaitanya Charitamrita is 12-something thousand shlokas, and this one also is about 12,000. 12,000 verses. That's not like just writing, you know, gibberish. You know, they have to be thought of and composed. And there are fanatics to this day that don't accept Chaitanya Charitamrita, but they only read the Goswami literature, and they think that he was trying to dumb it. Kaviraj Goswami was dumbing it down for the masses, you know, so where, you know, the puffed up the Bengali or other pundits, and they, not too many, obviously, in that category. But Bhaktivinoda even mentions it in the preface to one of his books. What is it? Bhajana Rahasya, one of those books where he says, nowadays there's this group where they want to just simply read the Goswami literature directly. And he takes it as a joke and says, well, and take the essence of, well, it's already been done hundreds of years ago by Kaviraj Goswami. Are you better than Kaviraj Goswami, you know? I'm going with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's opinion on that. So if they want to go directly back and reject Bhaktivinoda and even reject Kaviraj Goswami's, you know, understanding and taking the essential parts of the Goswami literature, you know, but that's good for them. But most of us are just groveling along here.
Thank you, Pushkar Prabhu.
Pushkar.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you very much.
No one does it like you do it. We really appreciate it.
Yes, nobody does it like you.
Well said.
All right, Haribol, I'll see you guys next time around. Same time, same station.
Same station.
Haribol.